Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text 36. Nanama Rupe Guna Janma Karma Bir Nirupitavye Tavatasya Shakshinaha Mano Vachobhyam Anumeyam Vartmano Deva Kriyayam Pratiyantyatapihi. Na, not. Namarupe, the name and form. Guna, with attributes. Janma, appearance. Karmavi, activities or pastimes. Nirupitavye, are not able to be ascertained. Tava, your. Tasya, of him. Sakshina, who is the direct observer. Manaha, of the mind. Vachobhyam, words. Anumeyam, hypothesis. Vartmanaha, the path. Deva, O Lord. Kriyayam, in devotional activities. Pratyandi, they realize. Atapi, still. He, indeed. You can be realized by the devotees. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, your transcendental name and form are not ascertained by those who merely speculate on the path of imagination. Your name, form, and attributes can be ascertained only through devotional service. Purport. As stated in the Padma Purana, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabravet Grayam Indriyai Seva Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratyadao. One cannot understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Lord Krishna through one's materially contaminated senses. Only when one only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. Since Krishna and his transcendental name, form, and activities are all of a transcendental nature, ordinary persons or those who are only slightly advanced cannot understand them. Even big scholars who are non-devotees think that Krishna is fictitious. Yet, although so-called scholars and commentators do not believe that Krishna was factually a historical person whose presence on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is recorded in the history of Mahabharata, they feel compelled to write commentaries on Bhagavad Gita and other historical records. Sevam mukhehi jivado swayam evas pratida. Krishna's transcendental name, form, attributes, and activities can be revealed only when one engages in service in full consciousness. This confirms Krishna's own words in Bhagavad Gita, 1855. Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishete tat anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Only by seva mukha, By engaging oneself in the Lord's service, can one realize the name, form, and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Lord, the demigod said, the impersonalists, or non-devotees, cannot understand that your name is identical with your form. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his name and his actual form. In the material world, there is a difference between form and name. The mango fruit is different from the name of the mango. One cannot taste the mango fruit simply by chanting. Everyone chant, mango, mango, mango. You're chanting mentally, I guess. It says mango here. It's the Bhagavatam. What is it, manga in Slovene? Mango. Mango. But the devotee who knows that there is no difference between the name and form of the Lord chants, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, and realizes that he is always in Krishna's presence. For persons who are not very advanced in absolute knowledge of the Supreme, the Lord exhibits his transcendental pastimes. They can simply think of the pastimes of the Lord and get the full benefit. Since there is no difference between their transcendental name and form of the Lord, there is no difference between the transcendental pastimes and the form of the Lord. For those who are less intelligent, like women, laborers, or the mercantile class, the sage Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, Krishna is present in his different activities. Mahabharata is history, and simply by studying, hearing, and memorizing the transcendental activities of Krishna, the less intelligent can also gradually rise to the standard of pure devotees. The pure devotees who are always absorbed in thought, the thought of the transcendental lotus feet of Krishna, and who are always engaged in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, are never to be considered to be in the material world. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that those who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness by body, mind, and activities are to be considered liberated even within this body. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord have already transcended the material position. Krishna appears in order to give a chance to both the devotees and the non-devotees for realization of the ultimate goal of life. The devotees get the direct chance to see him and worship him. Those who are not on that platform get the chance to become acquainted with his activities, thus become elevated to the same position. The Brahma Samhita 5.38 says, Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva ridyeshi vilokayanti yam shaima sundarama chintya guna swarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Although Krishna's transcendental form is presented as black, devotees who are in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead appreciate the Lord as Shyama Sundara, having a very beautiful blackish form. The Lord's form is so beautiful that the Brahma Samhita 5.30 also states, Venam kvanantam aravinda dalaya taksham parharvatam asisatam buddhasundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya vishesha sobham govindamadi purusham tamahang bhajami. You heard that before. Good. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who plays on his transcendental flute. His eyes are like lotus petals, lotus flowers. He is decorated with peacock plumes, and his bodily color resembles the color of a fresh black cloud. Although his bodily features are more beautiful than millions of cupids, this beauty of the Supreme Lord can be seen by devotees who are in love with Him, devotees whose eyes are anointed with love of Godhead. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena. The Lord is also known as Giridhari or Girivaradhari, because Krishna, for the sake of His devotees, lifted Govardhan Hill. Devotees appreciate the Lord's inconceivable strength, but non-devotees, in spite of directly perceiving the Lord's inconceivable strength and power, regard the Lord's activities as fictitious. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Non-devotees cannot give any nomenclature for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet the Lord is known as Shyamasundara and Giridhari. Similarly, the Lord is known as Devaki Nandana and Jashoda Nandana because He accepted the role of son for Mother Devaki and Mother Jashoda. And He is known as Gopala because He enjoyed the sport of maintaining the cows and calves. Therefore, although He has no mundane name, He is addressed by devotees as Devaki Nandana, Jashoda Nandana, Gopala, and Shyamasundara. These are all transcendental names that only devotees can appreciate and non-devotees cannot. The history of Krishna, the person, can be openly seen by everyone. Yet only those who are in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appreciate this history. Whereas non-devotees who have not developed their loving qualities think that the activities, form, and attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fictitious. Therefore, this verse explains, Narupa nanamarupe gunajanmakarmabhi narupitavye tavatasya shakshinaha. This connection, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given the example that persons suffering from jaundice cannot taste the sweetness of sugar candy. Although everyone knows that sugar candy is sweet, simply because of the material disease, non-devotees cannot understand the transcendental name, form, attributes, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although they actually see the Lord's activities, either through authority or through history. The Puranas are old, authentic histories, but non-devotees cannot understand them, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of Vedic knowledge. Non-devotees cannot understand even the preliminary study of transcendental knowledge, Bhagavad Gita. They simply speculate and present commentaries with absurd distortions. In conclusion, unless one elevates himself to the transcendental platform by practicing bhakti yoga, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His name, form, attributes, or activities. But if by chance, by the association of devotees, one can actually understand the Lord and His features, one immediately becomes a liberated person, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktvadeham punar janma naitimam eti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore said that by affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotees can express their mind to Him with their words. Others, however, cannot do this, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktyamame abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha. So the text again. O Lord, Your transcendental name and form are not ascertained by those who merely speculate on the path of imagination. Your name, form, and attributes can be ascertained only through devotional service. Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita states that when he was asked by one lady to recommend a version of the Bhagavad Gita that she could read in English, Prabhupada mentions that, at least at the time when he wrote Bhagavad Gita, that there was 600 to 700 commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, and all of them don't accept Krishna's, well, most of them, I'm sure, don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, as Prabhupada writes here, why would you write a commentary in a book that you didn't accept? Could anyone figure that out? Why would you have 600 or 700 commentaries on a book written by an ordinary person? Even if Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must be quite extraordinary. Because maybe the Bible they have commentaries on, and they all say different things, because there's so many different things in the Bible. But if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what is the definition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, first of all? Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashashastriyaha, Jnana, Vairagyaschayanam, Vachayanam, Tinganaha. Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya. In full, all opulence. Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Virya. So, all strength. Now, we can't see Krishna's strength, but we can understand, if we look at the universe, that these planets are definitely being controlled by someone, or some people may say something, but how is it possible the sun can rise exactly at a certain time and set at a certain time? With all our intelligence, we don't know what time we're getting up tomorrow. We don't even know what time we're going to go to sleep tonight. We don't even know if we're going to go to sleep tonight. And yet the sun, every day, is rising at a certain time and setting at a certain time, precisely. So who's created such a wonderful machine as the sun? Now, someone may say it's come about by accident. So let me see you create an accident that can create a machine that can rise at a certain time and set at a certain time. Where is your proof that it's an accident? Where is the science that it's an accident? Science means that there is a theory, there is an experiment, there's observation, and then there is a conclusion. But they just have a conclusion. They have a theory, everything came about by accident. They have no experiment to prove it. They have no observation to prove it. But they just come up with a conclusion. Their theory and the conclusion are the same. And because people's intelligence has been taken away by illusion, and because the people who come up with these theories, they want to make sure that people stay in illusion. Therefore, the whole modern civilization is just an attempt to forget about Krishna, to deny Krishna's existence, to put into orbit some small little satellite and declare that we're God, or we're almost God, because we put a little satellite in orbit, and just deny the big satellite that's in orbit, the big satellites. Don't let people think too much, just overwhelm them with ignorance, with false information, and so they don't think very much, in order they have the capacity to think. Because, as explained here, bhakti mam abhijananti, unless we become Krishna conscious, then our intelligence is constantly being taken away by illusion. Therefore, it's very difficult to see even the most simple thing, the most obvious thing, that our body is changing, but we're not changing. Even that we can't perceive. Although we're walking around the same person, I hope, throughout the day. Some people have many people with them. But most of us, we have usually one person, ourselves, in this body. And we know we're the same person. It wasn't that there was a different lady or a different man who came to the temple yesterday, and now we have a completely different person here. You seem confused. No, the soul is always the same, and therefore we're eternal, because the body is completely different. Not completely, but it's different enough to say that there's a difference, and yet it doesn't affect our identity. And yet people can't understand such a simple truth. We may try to explain to them in 100 different ways, but still they won't understand it. In other words, when we're dealing with a person, I remember one time, I was sitting with Srila Prabhupada and he was talking to one Indian gentleman. And Prabhupada was explaining to the Indian gentleman, Mukundavru, that the Krishna is like the father, or the Vedas are our mother. And the Vedas can tell us who our father is. Just like if you want to find out from the authority who your father is, the best authority is your mother. If she doesn't know, then no one else will know. So if you want to find out who your father is, you have to ask your mother, the Vedas. So this was an Indian gentleman. Generally they accept the Vedas, but he could not understand the analogy. So Prabhupada repeated it 3 times. He still couldn't understand. So Prabhupada didn't try to explain the philosophy in a different way to him. He just asked that his servant bring prasadam. In other words, if people are in illusion, and depending upon how much illusion they're in, they can't understand what we're talking about if we repeat Krishna's words. But if they chant Hare Krishna, they do devotional service, then Krishna will give them more intelligence, more of a capacity to understand what this philosophy is. So if we read something, we can't understand it, we can read it again, maybe 3 times. If we can't understand it, then chant around and come back and see if you can understand it. But it's not with our tiny little intelligence we're going to understand something unlimited. What we can understand, hopefully, is by devotional service, we can understand that Krishna's books have unlimited perfect knowledge. Therefore, the fault is not in Krishna when he spoke Bhagavad Gita. The fault is that our intelligence has been taken away by illusion because of our activities in the material world, and therefore we can't understand perfectly. We can't perfectly understand Bhagavad Gita. But the nice thing is that the words of Krishna and Krishna himself are non-different, and therefore if one receives the Bhagavad Gita with the right attitude from the right person, then gradually the understanding will be there also. It's as good as chanting Hare Krishna. Just like if we chant Hare Krishna with the right attitude, following the right example, then we'll also experience Krishna. So as Prabhupada says, everything is already there. The question is our attitude. Do we feel ourselves to be a servant? Or that's a little advanced. Do we have at least an open mind to discover what Krishna consciousness is? Because right now, conditioned by the material nature, we can't realize Krishna just by hearing about him. We're not going to hear about, we can't realize him completely. But we can realize it if we actually take it seriously. As much as we take it seriously, then Krishna will reveal his mind to us. And taking it seriously means to at least make an effort to try and understand Krishna consciousness, knowing well that we're conditioned, but have some faith, or at least accept theoretically that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After all, with a little tiny bit of intelligence, we can see that this universe is not an accident. 2 cars crash in the street. Even that's not completely an accident. We call it an accident. What's the example of an accident? Things happen because people do things. Sometimes you may say, well, there's a tsunami, and that was an accident. But it's not an accident, because it's material nature. Material nature is not an accident. Under certain laws, certain things happen. Even in the material nature, even without apparently people's interference, although we know by the law of karma, if there's a tsunami and someone drowns, it's not by accident. It's by the laws of nature. Namely, under Kala at time, the three modes of material nature come into being, and everything is governed by karma under these three modes. In other words, under the three modes of material nature, karma comes about under time. Material nature itself is constituted by three qualities: the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. Above these modes is eternal time. By a combination of these modes of nature, and under the control and purview of eternal time, there are activities which are called karma. These activities are being carried out by time immemorial. So, how can we deny time? Time is changing everything. Yet time is not being changed by anything. There's some inconceivable energy that's acting on everything, but it's not changing. We don't wake up one morning and read in the newspaper that time grew so old it died. Therefore, there's no more time. So what is this energy that's changing everything? There must be something changing everything. Every single, all atoms or molecules, whatever, everything's being changed by some energy, by some force. It's called time. And there are three modes. We can see some devotees are falling asleep. So that's clear indication there's something called ignorance. Some devotees are half awake, so that's thinking about what's going to happen, when's prasadam, passion. And there might be someone here who's in goodness. At least the translator is in goodness. Otherwise he couldn't translate. So we can see there's three modes, and these modes are changing. If you walk into your room one day, wherever you're living, one day it's clean, and the next day it goes to passion, and then ignorance eventually, if you don't keep on cleaning it. So there are three modes, and they're changing all the time. So who's doing all this? And we have a choice, which modes of material nature we want to manifest, we want to live under. That's our desire. Or we want to live transcendentally. So with our intelligence, we can change the modes. In time, we can change the modes of material nature in which we're working. We can change the karma. That's one thing that can be changed. We can't change the fact that there's time. We can't change whether there's a controller of the universe. We can't change the fact that I'm eternal. We cannot change the modes of material nature, but we can change by our desire what we're going to be, what kind of consciousness we're going to be under, which of the modes or our transcendental nature we'll be under. So that's what Krishna is explaining here, and there are so many commentators, they're denying that Krishna is God, that he could possibly be the Supreme, and yet they're trying to figure out what his words are. So he's obviously, they consider him an extraordinary personality, speaking extraordinary knowledge, but they can't figure it out. And therefore there are hundreds of commentators. But if we just accept Krishna, he says, all right, you can't figure me out. I can hardly figure myself out either because I'm unlimited. Still, if you render service to me, then it'll become clearer. What will become clear? The fact that Krishna is God, that we're eternal, that there's time influencing everyone, and that there is three modes of material nature influencing people, and that there is karma that we can change. We can change our karma to spiritual existence if we want to. So we can try it out, and if it works, that's nice. If it doesn't work, then we're just everything is not very promising anyhow. So at least we might as well do something which is promising, namely to try to get eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. If Krishna is God and he's promising that, then he's generally an honest person. So why not follow the formula he has? if you want to bake a cake, then you follow the recipe, and the cake usually turns out all right. You follow the, you have to accept some authority. Not that you look at the cake and it says, you know, 3 cups of flour, and you say, I don't like that. I'll add 7. I want to be creative. It says 2 teaspoons of salt. I'll add 5 cups. Just be creative. You can do it, but it probably no one's going to eat your cake. You might not even eat it either. And even if you put it outside for the pigeons, they may not like it either. So generally speaking, we have to follow the authority and then see how it turns out. And then, of course, if it turns out well, then we take all the credit for it. Because I surrendered and followed the authority. Therefore, I deserve all praise. And we don't give any credit to the authority. But if we just follow the Krishna's authority, then we'll get the nice result, and we should give him some credit also. Although we get some credit from just surrendering and following him. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
You said that people, it's really very hard to understand our books, and this is practical experience.
Well, we have a hard enough time also. When to speak with people in general.
Sometimes we meet these people and they have the books, they try to read them, but they didn't understand.
Yeah, they have no qualification. If you're 3 months old and we give you the Bible to read, what are they going to understand? What can they can't even read. Therefore, we don't try to explain the whole philosophy to people. We meet them somewhere where they might be able to understand. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the most confidential knowledge, the most confidential knowledge, and then he talks about knowledge which is more confidential than the most confidential knowledge. Then he talks about the most confidential knowledge, which is even more confidential than the most confidential, which is the more confidential knowledge than the most confidential. And what is it that's the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the three modes? Meeting people where they're at. Like if someone falls asleep, you say, you're in ignorance, Prabhu. No, I'm not in ignorance, I'm in goodness. The only time I'm good is when I'm asleep. Everyone knows sleeping or passionate, desire to fulfill one's desires. Or it's some goodness, sometimes we're a little good. We wash our hands before we eat, we feel good about it. So we know we have direct experience with the three modes. That we can understand. So sometimes Krishna meets us in a place where we can understand. So we can appreciate what he's not talking all nonsense in the other 17 chapters. Yes. Microphone from Nityaseva Devi Das.
Gurudev, I'm thinking about this, that...
Hare Krishna.
I'm thinking about that we are so much into three modes of material nature. We cannot even come up to goodness. Like, we are, changing. Sometimes we are in ignorance or passion, and sometimes we are in goodness. So it's all constantly changing, and we are not, at least I'm not even in, like, always situated in goodness. Then I'm just thinking sometimes that how we can even transcend these modes of nature, and to speak of course we are practicing Krishna consciousness, I wouldn't say that I'm purely practicing, you know, I'm still trying and aspiring to be a devotee. I'm not there yet at all, because I feel like when Bhagavatam, you know, speaks about...
Is this a question or is this?
Well, it's mixed up.
We don't have time for another lecture.
No, not lecture. I just have a doubt, you know.
So what's the question?
Anyway, the question is that how we can transcend these modes if we are constantly changing so much.
Oh, we Well, our activities of devotional service are the same. Every day we're chanting japa, we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we're worshipping the deities, we're serving the devotees, we're living in a holy place. So the activities are the same. We just have to control our mind and bring them into those activities by becoming detached from when our mind presents other things to do. We have to remain aloof from those other things, simply try to concentrate on the activities of devotional service, not to take our mind so seriously, what it's offering us to do. So one advice is sit down at the beginning of the day and write down what you should do, and then prioritize what you're going to do and try and follow the schedule to the best of ability. And then you'll see you'll be empowered to actually transcend the modes more. Krishna will help. But if we just take everything as it comes, then it's less likely we're going to rely upon Krishna to help us fulfill the schedule. Anything else? Hwala, Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.